interrupt in a current neo-uranial, climate-challenged, behaviorally controlled, energy-starved, alien-invaded, nuclear-glowing, postulated cricketism to bring behind the woodshed. This is Cricket Tube Busting Episode BTWRLM595. Remember, being free is not a spectator sport, so get you behind the woodshed, because, you know, you don't know what you've missed until you get behind the woodshed. It's pretty much that simple. Bring those miscreants with you. Teach them what they ought to have done. That's going through the black and white. And that's getting information from people that you may not know, that are looking at the same problems, trying to solve what's going on. And I've been talking about the United States government's war against journalism that's been going on globally and contrary to the Constitution. And here's another purpose in the war against journalism. Journalists and my listener, also contrary to the United States Constitution. U.S. crackdown on Sputnik RT meant to discourage others from speaking out. Meta's decision to block the accounts of Sputnik and RT was the result of a growing pressure from the Biden administration. It comes as the United States is, quote, losing the war in Ukraine and is thus growing increasingly desperate, independent journalist and author Daniel Lazara tells Sputnik. According to him, the purpose is not to strike out against the Russian media, but, quote, it's essentially to regiment political discourse in general. Let me interject here before we go on. Again, Ann and I have been talking about this for years. More recently, more focused on the cognitive warfare, the total dominance that goes on by the United States government in all aspects of these things. The military has decided is its sphere of influence, which is just about everything. I don't think there's anything that isn't underneath it. So always hold that in your mind. This is a war really against people. There's something in the United States that has broken loose, and they're disconnected from any constraints at all, and apparently the people don't tend to want to believe that there's going to be any accountability, don't ask for it, don't insist on it, and don't rally together to encourage it. But this is about, really, my listener. This is about you getting information and creating a dialogue for yourself to become an informed populace to make better decisions. They certainly don't want you having a say. So going on with the article, to discourage others from speaking out, to make it known that criticism of the war is now impermissible, that further action may be taken by the government and the people should watch their step. That's what the message is. And I want to interject, it wasn't just about the Ukraine war. That's just whatever the United States government wants to want, any war it wants to promote, and that could have been the Covey swindle. It could be anything that's going on. All these modernization acts that we're told that they're going to help everybody. No, they're the war against you. The modernization is the adjustments to bring you into more compliance relative to the oppression that's upon us. It's not hard for me to see once I decided I looked at the Lincolnization of America and said, well, way back in the Civil War, they did that to us. So we're generations gone past understanding what may have been happening in the change. And yet you can see evidence. You know them when you see them. You can see evidence that they need to maintain control. That the important element that they need to attack first and foremost is communication. Your ability to acquire information. And we just saw what Israel did to the communication devices. That's an imperative thing to do. It's not unknown. Long term, I think that was developed by the government in the 1960s or so. And so that's like, it's not unknown, but that's what they go after. They've got to go after your information. Lazar says, quote, internet censorship is simply the logical next step for the U.S. as it is raising the stakes by providing Kiev and the medium-range missiles capability of striking deep within Russian territory while at the same time stepping up repression at home. Quote, this is very dangerous, but this is what a government does when it's losing a war. Let me interject again. There's many wars that are going on the United States is waging. The war on drugs. The war of terror. The war on anything, the housing, the war on safe food, the war on any health matters. Any war that the government creates is really a war against the people, and it's just another position to take relative to the imperative police power, which is state security stuff. And so you looked back, and I talked to you years ago. So, well, Congress came through and said, we're going to repeal all these war acts, but they left one or two. One of them was back to the early 1900s, Trading with the Enemy Act, 1917 or so. Yeah, that's a big one. So they didn't get rid of that one. And so this is at the commercial connection as well, when you start understanding what's going on. Again, he's pointing out here about the Kiev, the Ukraine war. I'm suggesting go ahead and expand your thoughts to apply to any war you've heard ever declared, even if you thought it was trivial. If there's a war declared on something by the United States, that's not a joke, and that's how this starts to work, to empower that entity and those people using that entity to cause tyranny, essentially. Having noted that freedom of speech in the United States is now under attack, Lazar warns that the other nations will follow suit and that censorship is spreading. Global censorship is increasing. It is increasing, but I must point out that given the internet, critical speech is impossible to stop. So think about that part, and this is what we get here going, moving into the network, reallibertymedia.com, what we've been talking about all this time. I know this gentleman says it as well. But nonetheless, they can dampen it, they can tamp it down, and they can discourage it by essentially making it more and more difficult for people to speak out here in the United States. So I want to use this statement that the global censorship is increasing to point out that given the construction of the internet, the critical speech can be almost impossible to stop. You know, we've just heard in the news that the ex-Twitter did the same thing, the end around on Brazil's blockade of its content. And they did an interesting thing with Cloudflare. So there's possibilities to work through. And we also hear the deep net and this and that. I'm not talking here at this point about being anonymous that way. I'm just saying there's places and ways to get through the internet that are not what we normally think. It's certainly not things that Google even looks at, which is part of the attractiveness of it. But along this internet capability is the very purpose. Again, as RLM exists and the direction that we want it to continue, as we see better types of threats coming at us, and to be able to address those vulnerabilities and be that unstoppable source for truth. We ask for donations to preserve the network in the handoff there from Grimner to Vince, and then from Vince to Sound Minds and the new crew that's been taken over and been doing the work to consolidate everything. But what we need to do now is invest more money to reduce the ongoing recurring costs and make the RLM services more efficient and secure. The cost to integrate the second phase of the RLM transition to unstoppable media as we conceive it is going to be about $600 at this point. And it's planned that this will replace the data and content stealing WordPress that Grimner started to use, and it's hard to get away from, but we're going to do that anyway. That's the tough part about it. We're going to use another content management system so that our system isn't stolen, and content isn't stolen. The listeners' information or comments aren't stolen by WordPress. And these donations will also pay for the proper transfer of a massive amount of existing data on Real Liberty Media to the new system and establish a better and integrated broadcasting and scheduling and distribution system. Is also going to hopefully pull together all this at one time. These are important steps will reduce the reoccurring costs, most importantly, and bring what Grimner called his white elephant. If you saw the back end of this network, you understand what he's talking about. He just pulled stuff together and kept pulling it together. Well, it's got out of hand. It's hard to keep up with. So we wanted to reduce all these overheads down to nothing. And we're going to try and clean up Grimner's white elephant into something much more manageable than it is right now. And then at that point, we'll see how all that functions for any tweaks before we do the third phase of transition, which might include that unstoppable RLM content amp. But that won't happen quite yet. That's what I'm looking at. I want to have a thing for people to really make that internet their ability to go around, and nobody knows what they've selected to go look at or how they're getting there. So that's a little few more steps beyond. But right now, beyond the consolidation, there is some hardware that's needed. And the last donations for the hardware are now have been put together as well. That was done. And so the next phase requires a couple of other things. And again, I thank all of you that donated last time for that very much. It really got us along as we keep moving this thing forward. And all this is being done as frugally as possible without cutting corners, because as we're finding out, cutting corners does not work in the long run. And Sound Minds is going to here sell some existing hardware that he has to get the better suited hardware and keep the need of donations to a minimum for the hardware, but there appears there's going to be a slight shortfall to all that. So if my listener can donate this to this next phase, the content management system and transfer, broadcast system improvement, I'd appreciate the help for Sound Minds to get this all done. And if you can find the donate button at reallibertymedia.com or at RLMradio.xyz, find that button and go ahead and hit it. Give what you can. Every little bit helps because the crackdown is on. As I was anticipating, it was happening. And they're putting the heat to us. So let's see if we can cool it all down a bit with this next phase. So I'm hoping it all kind of comes along. Again, thank you for those that can donate. This is a big work that's been going on and on, trying to research the technology, try to stay ahead. It's been very difficult, but here we are now to try and implement the consolidation and the efficiency standards. And again, always looking toward making things more secure. That report I told you about WordPress took me by surprise a bit. They just, you know, they stopped being Don't Be Evil, and they became like Google. Everyone's looking for that dollar, and that's the problem. See, there's money that has to be gone in, and it does cost money. So they decided to come in and take people's content, information. And that's something that we've never been agreeable to at reallibertymedia.com. Grimner was never into all that. So there's very few things that were going on that were trackable and traceable in the network. There were some things. Again, the purchasing of a product was there just to, again, get some money to keep the network going. And so here we are asking the second phase now. I appreciate if we can pull together about $600, that would be great. And that next phase should happen pretty quickly. And then again, like I said, we'll just work it out, see how that functions with the new stuff and getting it tuned in, and then look at the next step. So, and this will bring me back to the war against truth that Real Liberty Media is positioned to take a lead. I mean, it would be a unique condition, hopefully, the way I conceive it. I'm hoping it can be done relative to the code in the computer programming. This war against truth, it seems nothing. No truth is not tainted by the CIA agenda of intermeddling as well. It's interesting what we have to think about in the security side of this, as I'm talking to Sound and the code crew, what their anticipations are, trying to get a handle on it. But the U.S. halted Havana Syndrome study after patients allegedly coerced. So this is the underlying theme, it seems, in our nation anymore. Everything's coerced out by these intelligence agencies, in particular the CIA. The U.S., again, I'm not talking about the Havana-Cuba thing. Yeah, we're making a comment, but I'm pointing out that there's really real vulnerabilities here, and you could be a victim even, and be victimized again by the very government that purports to be helping you, the benefit of studying it to see if they can solve the problem. The U.S. has put a halt to a study into the Havana syndrome after the National Institute of Health Internal Review Board discovered patients were coerced into participating. Media reporting cited a statement from the NIH. Quote, in March 2024, the National Institute of Health, NIH, initiated an investigation in response to the concerns from participants who were evaluated as a part of a study of anomalous health incidents, the AIH, that results of which were published in the Journal of JMA. The NIH investigation found that regulatory and NIH policy requirements for informed consent were not met due to coercion, although not on the part of the NIH researchers. The NIH said that the statement obtained, that was what the NIH said in a statement obtained by the news article. So, a side note here, can I point out right there, the Sputnik, Russia's lips, you'll be told, is quoting from Fox News. Okay, so understand what I'm reading from. There, we've got Sputnik quoting from Fox News. This is not Sputnik and Russia statements. This is coming from a so-called domestic mainstream media. That they're, maybe that's their problem. At any rate, they're quoting from Fox News here on this truth thing. But what is Russia doing? What is it, Russia influence? Is it or isn't it? A Russian media site is quoting from Fox. According to Fox News, some patients complained the NIH was working with the CIA on the screen patients. The CIA dictated who would go, one patient said. The report claims the CIA pressured patients by offering treatment at the Walter Reed National Military Medical Center in exchange for participation. Look at the bribery going on here, and it's your most vulnerable time. Understand these methods, because this is how they come at us. The great Kobe swindle was no different. Interesting, and maybe ironically, the NIH was involved with that swindle and didn't stop it. Why are they all of a sudden got? They got a conscience all of a sudden? Maybe somebody did. Don't know. The NIH said, given the role of voluntary consent as a key pillar of ethical research, it stopped the study out of an abundance of caution. The NIH also said that the investigative findings do not impact the study's conclusion. In early March, the Washington Post reported five U.S. intelligence agencies concluded it was, quote, very unlikely that any foreign adversary targeted U.S. diplomats and intelligence staff with the help of some sort of energy weapon that caused strange and painful acoustic sensations. In congressional testimony in May, Director of the National Intelligence, Avril Haines, said the agency was continuing to investigate anomalous health incidents but needed to close gaps it identified. Haines underscored that the intelligence community has not changed its initial assessment that it is very unlikely that a foreign actor would be behind the incidents. Sound familiar? It's unlikely this is happening, yet some agencies move forward. The CIA tries to taint the study, twist it toward what their option was. So the CIA was attempting to skew those NIH findings that it's very unlikely for a foreign actor would be behind the incidents because they want to prove that they is likely. And just like Russiagate 1.0 and 2.0, that the CIA and other intelligence agencies promote to the public foreign actors are doing it, where truth seems to mean nothing to we the people, especially post 9/11, and the Smith Modernization Act, we the people can be lied to through now. Apparently those laws against perjury have some teeth when an agency has to report to Congress, and we get the truth of no foreign interference. So again, speak behind a woodshed of methodologies and dynamics, more than the news. These are notices to us of what's going on, how it goes on, who the players are, what their parts are. Yeah, so a lot of it can be predicted, and you'd shake your shoulder. You'd say, well, that's not really even why I'm even commenting to this. These are happening in dynamics against each one of us in all facets of our lives anymore, it seems. I want us to understand how this happens. If you think just the CIA knows these techniques, you need to go look around a little bit, and you'll see these very same problems creeping up. Tampering with a witness is supposed to be a crime. They didn't seem to bother them. But from how it was planned department, we can now see the 10-CARE Connect system was launched in 2019, was the result of years-long effort by the state to modernize its Medicaid system and adhere to new eligibility criteria and streamline enrollment requirements mandated by the Affordable Care Act. That was Obamacare, adopted by Trump, the Trump scare. And you notice as we talked, and I made all the reports and showed you, looking through the news, what they're telling you. It was a monopolization of the medical field and insurance, and you were going to probably pay lots of more money and have less to choose from. And I don't think that was an incorrect view as we've watched it roll out. Well, 10-CARE Connect systems launched a system to make it a little bit better, but to modernize. So this is the transformative system. Under the new rules, the states were supposed to provide a single application process that would collect residents' information and determine which of the many complex health and disability benefits programs that were eligible for. Crenshaw found that 10-CARE Connect did not consider whether applicants were eligible for all available programs before it terminated their coverage. So those of you that are in these systems, listen very carefully on what they do, and you're going to have to probably step up. This is a class action suit that the department now of how it's going, from how it was planned to how it's going. The judge rules $400 million algorithmic system illegally denied thousands of people's Medicaid benefits. And so those of you, listen very carefully, those of you in these systems have been denied. There may be a reason, and it was illegal that it was done. Again, I don't like to hear this. You shouldn't have to. The judge in this case says that, but you still have to get back in and now target this. Use this as a start. You have to see if the facts are the same. And if you may be eligible to get these things restarted, maybe even if you can find the very same problems in a new state, because these systems are around the country. We'll hear that in a second. Thousands of Tennesseans were illegally denied Medicaid and other benefits due to programming and data errors in an algorithmic system the state uses to determine eligibility of low-income residents and people with disabilities, a U.S. District Court judge ruled this week. Here we have again, the poorest among us are being denied. The 10-Care Connect system built by Deloitte and other contractors for more than $400 million is supposed to analyze income and health information to automatically determine eligibility for benefits programs applicants. But in practice, the system often doesn't load the appropriate data, assigns beneficiaries to the wrong households, and makes it incorrect eligibility determinations, according to the decision from the Middle District Tennessee Judge Waverly Crenshaw Jr. So there's a list of a few things. Those of you that may have run into this or know somebody, plug that into their problem. Maybe they have the same thing going on. I would say there's probably a lot of other problems that maybe didn't get noticed here. But get the case. Get what the judge found. Quote, when an enrollee is entitled to state-administered Medicaid, it should not require luck, perseverance, and zealous lawyering for him or her to receive that health care coverage, Crenshaw wrote in his opinion. The decision was a result of a class action lawsuit filed in 2020 on behalf of 35 adults and children who were denied benefits. Deloitte was a major beneficiary of the nationwide modernization effort, winning contracts to build automated eligibility systems in more than 20 states, including Tennessee and Texas. There's another 18 states out there, folks. If you were in those systems and got denied, check it out. Advocacy groups have asked the Federal Trade Commission to investigate Deloitte's practices in Texas, where they say thousands of residents are similarly being inappropriately denied life-saving benefits by the company's faulty systems. So there's your Modernization Act in progress. Is right there, like I predicted was going to happen. And you have to press it, and if there's a court, luckily there's a judge here that can see it, he'll call it out. This, when I tell you that as a beneficiary, you're not supposed to suffer these hardships, it's no different than when I told you about minors. You're granted the land that you work. You can be shown by affidavit and legal paperwork what that it's. You found a discovery. They're not supposed to be attacked any further. There's nothing they're supposed to be obligated to other than what the contract, the grant of Congress for disposal of the mineral soil is, the valuable mineral that they discovered. This is no different. This is essentially grant law. The beneficiaries aren't supposed to jump through hoops. They're not supposed to be tortured like this. The judge identifies them. This is not just Medicaid. This will be any grant system that goes on. And also consider, when I say that, the patent, the land patent. It's not supposed to be messed with forever. So now you go to your code enforcement. Why are they doing that? Well, if you look very, very, very carefully, and you're very lucky and astute about what you're reading, you'll start seeing it's really not supposed to attach to your patent land. But anyway, aside that. So Medicaid in these states with these systems are being denied illegally. And I'm encouraged that there was a judge to call that out. Certainly if any of you have that problem or know of somebody. And one way to avoid the need, at least largely avoid the need for Obamacare, is to look at a group of people that sort of buck that trend and do as they do. Life in the United States has changed drastically in the last several decades. Technology, pharmaceuticals, and medical interventions, dietary shifts, educational policies, and social trends have radically altered our way of life. Over the same time period, Americans have become fatter, sicker, and less happy. Chronic disease has skyrocketed, and our children suffer ill health at unprecedented levels. Yet there is one group that has not experienced many of these same changes, the Amish and other plain sect churches. By opting out of the host of our modern social ills, they have avoided many of the negative outcomes impacting the rest of America, particularly our children. When I speak of the Amish, I'm primarily referring to the older order Amish, but much applies to the old order Mennonites and other plain sect communities as well. The Amish entered the American experiment in the colonial era after fleeing violent religious persecution in Europe. Their community customs are dedicated by the Ordnung, a set of church rules designed to encourage a simple, modest life, prevent social decay, and bind the community together. Members are pacifists who eschew cars or horses and buggies and reject current fashions for modest homemade dresses and bonnets and black pants and shirts and hats. They forego screen-based entertainment of all kinds. The faithful live in tight-knit but decentralized church districts, with each district making most of its own decisions. Liberal churches allow battery-operated lights, indoor plumbing, and phones or computers in the workshop, while conservative congregations use gas lamps, build outhouses, and require members to walk to public payphone booths scattered throughout the neighborhood. Even if it's allowed in a business setting, technology is forbidden in the home. Because the Amish have rejected modern life, they also unwittingly become a control group for many of the social ills that become a plague to the rest of us over the past few decades, particularly the trends associated with big tech, big education, dissolution of the family, big food, big pharma, and corporatized medicine. But let me explain. Those that everyone wants to hear talk about the science, a control group is a very important thing to find, and a good one, a true one, is the most important to make sure that you have. This is a group of people that we can do that. So you want to go to science. This is a good basis to at least look at. Because, as I said, too, those that didn't get the vaccine, although there may be some problem, as you heard, when you hear the coming story at the end of the broadcast about the new Mpox vaccine. We heard about in the Great COVID Swindle that the unvaccinated might still have a problem because of the transmission of the spike. But short of that, those that were unvaccinated are the control group in the Great COVID Swindle. So these are very important. If science is to rule, have some say, these are very important. That's why I'm partly reading this. More of the fact that this is a control group of people relative to all these things in our lives. From early childhood on, plain sect children learn to work alongside their parents and siblings. Chores are standard, and every member of the household contributes. The welfare state. The Amish believe that God and the church community should provide for members who are in need. As a result, they opt out of the welfare system and prove that the tight-knit community can form an adequate safety net. They refuse government handouts of any kind. The Amish, I know, use their COVID stimulus checks as fire starters rather than taking them to the bank. Most are exempted from paying into Social Security, and all refuse to accept the program's benefits. Some of them refuse to get Social Security numbers and birth certificates. Big Pharma, corporatized medicine, and the health insurance cartel is the next heading in the report. And this, again, is a very long report, but you're going to find quite a bit of information that I won't cover here, given the time constraints. And 1 in 5 American children suffers from a chronic illness that has continued for more than a year. 1 in 36 of our youth have autism. 1 in every 9 kids is diagnosed with ADHD. Americans take pills at a higher rate than almost any other country in the world. 2/3 of adults are taking prescription drugs. More than 1 in 4 American teenagers is on at least one prescription drug, often to treat anxiety and depression. By contrast, among the Amish, the use of prescription drugs is an exception rather than the rule, and few children take one at all. Most Amish are suspicious of modern medicine because they reject the idea of insurance and pay cash for services. They are not bound into a system where a care is limited to modalities an insurance carrier approves. Let me just call your attention back to the last case. You get sucked into those systems, and then you're mistreated. And then you got to go fight. These people do it different. They don't have to deal with all that. Consider the give and take on all that. I'm not promoting any of this. I'm saying these are the options. This is a control group. Consider these things. Herbal remedies, midwives, chiropractors, and functional medicine practitioners come first, with hospitals reserved for emergency scenarios. Relative to the COVID control group, an Amish response to COVID also served as a useful data point in the madness of 2020, when Pennsylvania issued a stay-at-home orders and strongly encouraged churches to end in-person services in late March, some Amish congregations initially complied. However, their semi-annual communion service scheduled in early May brought the issue to a head. Each church district made its own decision, but nearly all chose to gather and mark this sacred occasion, fully aware that they might experience an outbreak. Because their ordinum forbids the consumption of alcohol, grape juice is used instead, passed down the rows in a pitcher out of which each adult drinks. Over the following 2 weeks, many did become ill with flu-like symptoms. Most opted for home-based care. The few who were hospitalized did poorly, suffering the remdesivir and ventilator fate. Those who stayed home used herbal remedies or ivermectin, and most recovered fully and quickly. By the end of June, nearly 50,000 Amish in central Pennsylvania had achieved herd immunity, and with little excess death and continued life as a normal. Next to none of them took the COVID shot. I have not heard of a single person who did. I have also heard of no myocarditis, increased infertility, increases in sudden deaths, or disability, as we have seen throughout the rest of this country. Pfizer may have eliminated the control group in their clinical trials, but this one continues to show us what could have been in Americans had not, if they had, Americans had not lined up for an experimental injection. And I've only touched a bit of what is in this article that you can find the link behind the Voidshed Blogcaster at reallibertymedia.com. This extensive article is written by Tracy Thurman and concludes with this. Join the control group. Americans are not just noticing, they are following suit. At Amish homesteading festivals a decade ago, one would only see a handful of outsiders, but now thousands flock to see such events to learn how to return to a simpler, freer way of life. No culture is perfect, the Amish included, but we would be fools not to protect this control group. Join our Amish friends in opting out. Take action now to protect yourself and your family and exit the control pen before the gates closes. Resist mandatory vaccination, digital IDs, digital currency, smartphone dependency, and media addiction. Get outdoors, get your kids outdoors, working with you. Exit government schools, if at all possible, and explore the homeschooling rights that Amish have protected for you. Build a local community of like-minded people and create new pockets of resistance. Grow your own food if you can, and if you're not, find yourself a farmer. Develop a close relationship with them. Support them as if your life depends on it, because ultimately it does. As our governments rush headlong towards technocracy, it can feel like at times it is running out to halt their agenda, but if we act now and follow examples of the Amish, we can reclaim the wisdom of prior generations and find that life outside dystopia is still possible. So use this article to rethink what and how you've been living, what you might be able to change or can change. Not everything spoken of in the article is right for everyone, but I believe everyone can make some improvements to their lives using these things that are mentioned as a guide. To start with, we get into those legalities. You hear me talking about all that, and I'm like, I got to start to think. And I'm telling you, don't have a phone, don't do this, don't do these digital things. Try not to do any of those. Start to address and challenge the state. I started to feel a little bit like I'm a part of the Amish. There's just a logic behind that that this works. And so, again, find what you can. Use the article. Like I said, a lot of work went into that article to explain to us, if we didn't know much about it, what that control group showed to us. And I think it was a valuable read to just get ourselves reoriented for those of us that may need that look. And if any thought taking advantage of the least capable among us was limited to healthcare benefits, there's no limit to the modernized progressive wokeness victimization. And we can read a story. Really sad in one regard, and I hope the kid comes right back from it. Repeating a popular meme got a sixth grader at Colorado City Middle School escorted out of class, suspended, and arrested. The student was accused of making a terroristic threat. We just heard about the Amish doing their own schooling. Maybe this is one of those stories about why. Kanulok Young says he has dreams of making it big as an artist. The student claims his teacher misunderstood the meme he was quoting by a rapper named Riff Raff and thought he was threatening to blow up the school. Quote, "My main goal is to blow up," close quote, Indicus Kunuluk Young said. "That's all I could get out before the teacher interrupted me. My teacher said, 'You're going to what?'" Kunuluk Young recalled, "I explained what the meme was, and she didn't believe me. The full meme is my main goal is to blow up and act like I don't know nobody." The sixth grader claims the meme has a positive meaning. It means to get popular, get a bunch of views, and get famous. They keep using Kunuluk Young, I notice here. That's his last name. His first name is Indicus. And I wonder why they keep using his last name. Indicus says, he was immediately taken to the principal's office and suspended. The student claims he saw the meme on TikTok, and he says he never imagined he would get in so much trouble for repeating it. The 11-year-old says last Friday things continued to get worse when the police knocked on his door. Quote, "My dad came out and talked to them," Indica says. "He figured out that I'm getting arrested for a terroristic threat. We reached out to the Colorado City ISD for comment, and they have not responded. The Mitchell County Sheriff Department said they cannot comment on the juvenile's case." So you officials in Texas need to get some oxygen, it seems to me. You get a bit too much sun out that way on the lee side of the Rockies, do you? You need to resign, you folks, you officials there. This is ridiculous. And go back to living with your folks, maybe, until you can grow up older than this 11-year-old. I just want to know, what do you do to describe blowing up a balloon that doesn't get your panties in a knot, you ninnies? You live in some sort of basement all your life? You don't know what the slang for becoming an overnight success is? What? You're a disgrace. Riff Raff didn't just make that up yesterday. You folks, there are child abusers. You're terrorists yourself. This is sickening. What goes on here in this country anymore? Progressiveness, wokeness, just it's mental illness. People have no sense about reality, about what's going on. And even if the officials are needing oxygen or to get out of the sun over there, the people weren't having it. Better don't mess with Texas. And in a follow-up I found, which I wasn't sure I would because it was a juvenile case, his father said he was told his son had to appear in juvenile court. However, when they arrived, both of you folks have ever had this happen to you. Listen how this happens. This works. He got treated and mistreated the same way. I say treated, but he got mistreated the same way. However, when they arrived at the courthouse, they were told there was no court appearance at all. Kunuluk Young's father, Bino Villanueva, quote, "They are telling people that they have called in that they don't do juvenile courts on Wednesdays." Villanueva said, "I've eavesdropped a little bit. He basically said that they're not going to arrest him. He has nothing to worry about. They're trying to ease our fears. I believe that the only reason they would actually do that is because of your help in getting the story out." They were bombarded by calls. They got to the point where they stopped answering the phone. Can you imagine a court not answering the phone? So good for y'all to make that call now. Your officials need to resign there. You need to insist on that. Stop this ninny state terroristic abuse of your sons and daughters. I could not believe I was reading this story. And the kid, you get the video. This looks like a decent kid. And this jumps on him. Total innocence destroyed, it seemed to me, right here. No embrace of what he wanted to do in his life. And when you call your officials to tell them to resign and get out, they don't deserve to have their job. Send my regards behind which end. And I hope Indica Kunuluk Young's trauma heals and he is not permanently affected by this official abuse. But I'm not so sure. You know what that does to you. It did hit him emotionally. It should have never been involved. But anyway, that's the life we've been in. Maybe we need to avoid that. The vast groups of people adversely affected by the woke mind virus, official abuse of those not getting enough oxygen, Pope tells American Catholics to choose the lesser of two evils. If you can believe what I just said. The Pope tells American Catholics to choose the lesser of two evils. Both the pro-adoption Harris and the anti-migrant Trump are against life, the pontiff has said. So he relies for his opinion on underdeveloped subject matters devoid of authority or as to the lawful limits or by reservations for those authorities, which is by him committing evil by omission to push his political sustainability agenda, not biblical principles. He admits, though, he doesn't know relative to choosing those evils. You must choose the lesser of evil, he elaborated. Who is the lesser of evil? That lady or that gentleman? I don't know. Now, why doesn't he know? The Pope is referencing moral evil he attributes to the candidates, not some unpleasant choice to vote on. The vote not actually available in any electoral college system, notwithstanding here. He's looking at what he says. He does the foreigner looking into our system and got that wrong. But referencing this unpleasant choice between political evils is biblically sound. He would know if he were biblically, morally coherent, but he's not. And this shows us a potential problem as it starts to work out. He's referencing this moral things as deceptive cover for political ends to sound morally relevant, knowing either candidate will fulfill sustainable ends in their own way, knowingly or unknowingly. So the infallible one doesn't know, he doesn't need to know. Well, he can't tell you the truth about the deception, is what he knows. So, in thinking this through, and I've been just on this Vatican, this Holy See, for just decades, they don't seem to own up and be what they ought to be and in their proper jurisdiction. They are a political group. But I had to go back to some biblical references, what I thought the Pope ought to have done here. Did Peter and John succumb to the Sanhedrin that the Pope finds it okay to preach secular sustainable politics under color of a moral imperative? This not infallible one is a disaster. Peter and John wouldn't do that if he wants to be of the church, the Pope of the church. None is righteous. No, not one. If you read it, not Romans 3:10. Why is a religious leader weighing in on a secular politics without substantial reference to how the subject matter truthfully presented in proper context that it is in violation of the law of God? Donald Trump and Kamala Harris are both against life. The Catholic voters should choose the lesser of evil, Pope Francis told reporters on Friday. Now, isn't it true the lesser of two evils is still evil? Is there any biblical word that says, choose ye this day the lesser of two evils? And if both are against life, then there is no lesser evil. Isn't that true? Is it the life, one-third of the fulfillment, with the way and the truth making the whole journey possible? In witnessing this evil, shouldn't he be praying for these leaders to come to the faith in Jesus Christ? Shouldn't he be focusing on what the true path of the faithful is to show how things of the world are not the way, the truth, and the life? Explaining as well that to vote in America is a useless endeavor, being only those few electors of the Electoral College elect President of the United States, and suggest instead of voting, lobbying or influencing these electors according to the biblical principles is time better spent on secular things, I think, the way he should have gone after this. Unless he is admitting to not being of the Christian faith, so-called. That's got a taint on the term as well. Shouldn't he be saying, instead of saying that the faithful must vote, rather the faithful must first seek, as Jesus answered at John 14:6, quote, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me, which is a choice, not a vote. Speaking to reporters while returning to Rome from the Singapore, the pontiff said that not voting is ugly, and that the faithful must vote. Okay, not voting is only ugly. Good. He didn't say not voting was a sin. Likely because in voting between lesser of two evils, at a minimum, principally, thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, and I will spew thee out of my mouth, as stated in Revelation 3:16, and of which is correctable by not allowing evil to be a choice at all. Likely indicating future good works in its eradication. And maybe that's another reason why not voting is only ugly when finding oneself faced with an unpleasant condition of the world, destined to stray from the way, the truth, and the love. We are not bound to the ways of the world. That faith apart from works is useless, as we read in James 2:20. On the other hand, voting for the lesser of evil must be very pretty, given this pontifical political view, as long as we understand it's not a choice of evils more than God using evil despite itself. So, vote if you must, but that isn't the end of it. For as the body within the spirit is dead, so faith without works is also dead, as can be read at James 2:26. Is works without faith any different? Not voting harder may be ugly, but merely voting here is not enough. If we have a faith, a moral in us, at all as a people, we have a lot of work to do. And it's going to have to be focused in the right way. It's going to have to be inspired. It can't be listening to these political characters in the world, of the world, bringing us all down, not reinforcing what we should be doing. And you can be of any religion you want if that's what focuses you on what you need to be doing. I don't know of any religion actually when properly looked at that wants to see death and destruction. And yet when you look at what the Pope does underneath sustainable development, that's what it's meant to create. In a seemingly unrelated but very important potential international kerfuffle, relative to the Pope, Switzerland dumps neutrality as the Senate rejects a ban on joining NATO, NATO drills. The Swiss Council of States, the upper house of the parliament, said on Wednesday that it had voted against a ban on the participation of a military in joint NATO drills. Think about that, folks. So what's a pope to do? What's the infallible one going to do now that the pope's neutral Swiss guard is now not neutral? And how is it going to then uphold the Vatican City's obligations under the Lateran Treaty of 1929 to maintain neutrality in its inviolability? Does the Vatican now support attacks against the Russian Orthodox Church? Or threatening Russia with nuclear war? How can a pope call and intend peace on earth, goodwill toward man? But so goes the moneyed class of the world here, folks. Listen to what's in the news. This is almost astonishing stuff. People are putting themselves, leaders so-called, are putting themselves in places they're not supposed to be. And I really don't hear any backlash on it. I don't hear any observations against it. That was a big story in my mind when I saw it, in particular with the story right before it. What lesser of evil? Now, you've just brought yourself into evil yourself. Now what? You violated the very reason that you exist in that treaty. And because these sustainable, progressive, hope-unifying false choices of evil will persist, greed, new form of religion, or compliance test. Why are Britons forced to eat bugs? According to the UK Research Innovation website, cultured meat and insect-based proteins could soon be a sustainable and nutritious part of Britain's diet. Over the past few years, British press has peddled the idea of embracing edible insects as an alternative to meat. They are rich in protein, healthy fats, vitamins, minerals, and have a lower environmental footprint, the media asserts to Britons. Again, the Pope agrees with this. Okay, this is the problem with all this infallible one. In 2013, the Food and Agriculture Organization of the United Nations issued a report stating that around 2 billion people worldwide eat insects as part of their traditional diets. So take note of that. They use it as a promotion that 2 billion people already eat the bugs. Insect protein firms are attracting hefty investments from global foundations and food giants. In 2017, Protix raised $50.5 million in equity and debt funding, marking the largest investment in the industry at the time. The U.S. rushed to catch on, and with the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation granting $100,000 to All Things Bugs in 2012 to explore insect food production to American food corporations. ADM and Cargill investing a whopping $250 million in the French insect protein firm InnovaFeed in September of 2022. In 2023, the U.S. food giant Tyson poured around $58 million into Protix. As reported behind the woodshed, well, let's go back. It starts out, we see that happens when? At 2012. What did I say about your food modernization and food security? Those were in 2010 and 2011. You see now where the money was going. They already knew where they were going to go. I told you. Back then. High living standards, here's the punchline, high living standards still allow Westerners to consume animal protein. So there. So now, is it a question why 2 billion people in traditional diets eat the bugs? They have low living standards. And when they come to the as yet not Western American economy, they immediately eat dogs. Or Queen Kamala Antoinette might say, let them eat cats. Now they want you to adopt the more austere new normal living standards. So parity, third world status is brought upon everyone who will eat zebra, while the they eat steak. High standards of living allow people to consume high quality protein. Sustainability requires a low standard of living, the austerity living, to save the green Gaia goddess. Agenda 2030 calls that shared prosperity. I've been reading all through this part in 2015 when I went after the Pope again, what he was doing, what he was bringing on. The article reads, nonetheless, entomophagy is being rammed down their throats by the WEF media and the Hollywood stars eating bugs on camera. Edible insect protein businesses that doesn't offer high margins and low consumer acceptance. Consumption of insects is fraught with risks of allergic reactions and parasitic infections. Scientists warn that the consumption of edible insects may result in allergic reactions, particularly in people with asthma, hay fever, and allergic skin rashes. Monkeypox? Individuals with shellfish allergies, 2% of the world population, are likely to suffer allergic reactions after consuming insects due to their chitin exoskeleton. Edible insects, including those approved by the EU, are often infected with pathogens and parasites that pose a threat to humans and livestock. A 2019 study by researchers from the University of Warmia and Mazury, Poland, concluded. Then Fox News host Tucker Carlson in 2023 investigated the environmental push to eat creepy crawlers and suggested that it's a compliance test similar to the excessive COVID restrictions. Quote, our politicians know what they, when they control the food, they control the people. Dutch political activist Eva Vladingerbroek told the journalist during referring to EU environmental regulations, but which make traditional farming in the bloc unprofitable. Quote, it's all a new religion. We have to be fearful and scared for COVID, for nitrogen, for carbon dioxide, for Vladimir Putin. And meanwhile, these people who are in power, now they do whatever they want, Dutch politician Wybren van Hagen said. Meanwhile, the research and propaganda relating to insect eating has already become a source of wealth for researchers, media companies, speakers, and international forums. And despite all that woke food security nonsense legislation, the government of the United States is doing everything in its power to take away food to make it much more expensive, as the United States government intends to starve Americans as they watch. The attack on UK fish and chips is expanding, and will soon reach American shores and kill the fishing industry that feeds you, but which also relied upon the Russian fishery to do it. Now stopped by U.S. sanctions. And I've been reporting on these. Again, these are not stories. These are the things that are coming to us. I reported about this. But we're not talking about fish and chips. We're talking about this political, environmental dynamic that's going on to transform this world, essentially kill it all. Bone in the throat, the West is covered by an unexpected crisis over Russia. They ran into their own sanctions again. The crab crisis broke out in the United States, and the traditional fish and chips soared in price in the UK. There is a shortage of pollock in Germany. Pollocks in Germany. Interesting. Okay. To whom anti-Russian bans stood across the throat in the material of the RIA Novosti. The crab crisis, the Americans banned the import of fish and seafood from Russia back in March 22. Salmon, cod, crab, and pollock were sanctioned. Later, processed products were also abandoned and from any country if the fish was Russian origin. Even then, analysts warned, this is bad for the market. The All-Russian Association of Fishermen pointed to an acute shortage of crab. Quote, American consumers, not Russian fishermen, will feel the painful shock of the United States government's decisions, stressed German Zverev, president of the All-Russian Association of Fisheries Enterprise Entrepreneurs and Exporters. Russia, along with Canada, was one of the main suppliers of crab to the United States. In the three quarters of 2021, imports increased 28% to $766 million. Now, Americans, as Bloomberg writes, have a crab crisis. Cod is the next in line, Zverev recalled, that in 10 years the catch of this fish in the United States has halved. So it began to be imported from Russia, and so the shop was closed, as well as for pollock. The consequences came quickly. The American Whittier Seafood, specializing in fishing in Alaska, is close to bankruptcy. Its subsidiary, Marine Fishing International, provides supplies of crab caught in Russian waters. But remember that they need to starve you in the West out to bring it down to establish economic parity with the centralized global financial system, multipolar world to come. So, this is an oxymoron, it seems, isn't it? So, we see that reflected in the consequence of the sanctions. As I said, like spitting into a hurricane or a hurricane, if you're needy, is what was going on. Again, when I talk about fish and chip stores closing UK, it's not about fish and chips. Well, it is, but it's not about that. There's a big thing going on. It's a big worldwide movement happening right as we watch. Underneath this article, in the opposite effect, in Russia, there are no problems with the export of fish products. Supplies to China have increased by a third over the year, said Ilya Shestokov, head of the Rosrybolovstvo. China is an important trading partner, and this is about 50% of exports, 1.3 million tons worth $3 billion, she said. Think about the amount of fish that comes out of this ocean. Cod deficiencies. Europeans are also paying for the sanctions. But Russia is one of the largest cod miners in the world, and it's a main supplier to the EU. Reduced catch and trade restrictions have led to a shortage of fish. Processors are sounding the alarm. As a result, the price of fish and chips has risen sharply, without which the British cannot imagine themselves. Previously, a portion of cod in batter with French fries cost £6.48. Now it's almost £10. According to British experts, such inflation is the result of climate change, falling yields in military operations in Ukraine. In fact, anti-Russian bans are the cause. They will remain without pollock. The EU abandoned Russian crustaceans and caviar 2 years ago, but the Baltic states and Sweden insist on banning cod, sprat, herring, and other fish as well. According to Eurostat, in 2022, Russian pollock in the EU market occupied 27.9%. €230 million worth in 2021. In total, the European Union imported pollock worth more than €1 billion in 2023. of these 26% or 26 million euro accounted for the Russian product. Thus, in the event of the ban, Europeans will lose more than a quarter of its supplies. And Pollock is very unpopular, in particular in Germany. This is 19% of fish consumption. And the local media is already preparing the Germans for bad news. If Pollock falls under sanctions in September, an explosive rise in price is inevitable. Germans will be left without their favorite fish fingers, which they eat 5.2 million pieces a day. A serious crisis is brewing, and all because of Russia, warns Bill. But what was it? Because of Russia? Well, Putin done it, obviously. But despite Putin dunning it, isn't it a marvel what the Northern Oceans and Sea produce? 5 million pieces of pollock a day, just in Germany. Amazing. We are faced with the threat of a huge price increase. The German market depends on fish from Russia. We can't do without sauerkraut and cod. About 1,000 workers in the field of fish processing may be under threat of dismissal. 3 years will be enough to kill the industry, stated Stefan Mayer, managing director of the Federal Association of German Fishery Industry and Wholesale Trade. Now, I thought it was that you wouldn't want to mess with their beer and schnitzel. Did I have that wrong? Cod and kraut. Who'd have thunk it? Amazing. I wonder how many heads of cabbage it takes from the farmer for that sauerkraut. Meanwhile, Moscow has focused on the priority areas of its fish exports. In addition to China, these are the Republic of Korea, Japan, and the Netherlands, as well as Nigeria and other African countries. I guess the Netherlands sticks out there as a sore thumb and doesn't have to comply, I suppose, huh? Well, I've told you about the Netherlands. Very interesting. That's right. Russia has other fish to fry because the West has made it so that it can't fry anything but spit. And the goose that laid the golden egg on that rotisserie is what's happening to us. This is BTWRLM 595. And what of the government monopoly to control your life in the public interest? Let's read one example. From Price Controls to Mass Starvation by Peter St. Ange. This gentleman's pretty cool. 3 minutes a day, you can read what he's got coming forward. I agreed with a lot of what he said to start with, so it was he's an easy someone to listen to for me. But he's got the training to understand what he's really looking at, so he can give you a little bit more of the spread. And he presents it in quite an entertaining way in only a few minutes. So, what he writes here, for taxes and spending. Remember, going to starvation, remember? That's what they're setting up for us, as I've been talking for years and years. Food security wasn't going to be what you thought it was. From taxes to spending, Kamala is the most left-wing major party candidate since George McGovern, who proposed a universal basic income in 1972 and went on to win a single state. But her most harebrained scheme so far has been price controls, where she, to the left of McGovern, threatening to punish grocery stores for daring to charge more than their costs. In fact, grocery stores make 1 to 2 pennies on the dollar, meaning that they have to pass along costs that come straight from the Washington money printer. That means price controls would, in short, break food. Professor St. Ange goes through the gory details, as he'll tell you, in the rest of the article that you can get the link to at the Behind the Woodshed blogcaster. In short, in the end, he writes, you are now full Venezuela with the only alternative to starvation, a complete government takeover of the food supply, centrally planned from farmer to grocery. And unfortunately, if the morons running Kamala's brain trust are dumb enough for price controls, they're dumb enough for the whole lot more. And I'll say worse, we're already into the USD program called Farm to Fork. And I've reported on that for 10 years ago. They started to come out with all this stuff right after those modernizations. So how close are we? It's in the news, because worse is almost here, not just what you will eat, but where and from whom you'll buy it. Chicago inches closer to a city-owned grocery store after studies find it necessary and feasible. Early a year after Mayor Brandon Johnson's administration floated the possibility of opening a municipally owned grocery store to help improve food access on the south and west sides, a feasibility study created for the city describes the municipal grocery model as necessary, feasible, and implementable. Understand this was done for the city to do. This is the plan that they got going. The study recommends the city pursue some version of a municipally owned store and stores, but to find such stores could even turn a profit. It also suggests the city not attempt to operate a supermarket itself, but rather partner with a for-profit operator, a non-profit operator, or a co-op. There's your public-private fascism with your food. Private grocers have shuttered a number of supermarkets on the south and west sides in recent years, leaving many residents without significantly diminished access to fresh groceries. And I'm not going to talk about it here, but let's not forget the policies of the woke governments that caused the trouble as well. And then the overarching economy, they call it. But now with this, can you see how a digital token citizenship in the sustainable Siberian gulag begins to play into this? As I've been pointing out, the sustainable city-state is the only game in town. You will have to comply. Grocers are typically unwilling to take the market risk that these neighborhoods present. In the absence of private sector action or commitment to provide sustainable grocery options, it is necessary for the city to play a role in creating Kabuki Theater, a role in creating the sustaining grocery services in neighborhoods that lack grocery access, the report said. Even to include the public-private fascist liability part. The study recommends the city pursue some version of municipally owned stores or stores and find such stores that could turn a profit. It's also suggested the city not attempt to operate a supermarket itself, but rather partner with a for-profit operator, non-profit operator, or co-op, as I reread that to make sure you heard it. But why? Because it's the economy, stupid, said the president once. Actually, there was a pundit, wasn't it? Kamala Harris will have driven the economy so far south, it'll be like Prof. St. Ange just described in his article. When you go to read it, hopefully, you'll see how that is. You'll see how that works. There's a whole lot I left out. And he reads his thing in 3 minutes, but he says go to his link and you can read even more. So you're watching how I've been predicting this coming on from back in 2010 or so, 2011, to what we're seeing today, and it's going that way. And an economist professor like Peter St. Ange could have told you from the other side of why that is. So this is findable, and my point on all this is, if you only have one store to go to eventually, because the stores are on such margins, and they're wiped out by monopolistic tendencies, your mom and pops are gone, and you can only go to a few, and then they start going to imposing the digital currency, if you will, the digital IDs. You don't have their name and number in this, you're not going to buy, is how that starts to work out. The fundamentals prove economies will go down everywhere. You thought they were high. Bringing parity or equality to the new world order or perpetual debt is the plan. And we can read again the news. It's right on and on. In a nearly 400-page report, Draghi said that the European bloc, needed investment. Higher than ever, the 1.2 EU GDP in the Marshall Plan for rebuilding Europe after World War II, and the bloc must act on several fronts, he writes. It's to do this, or it's going to be slow agony, Draghi warned. EU countries had already responded to the new reality, Draghi report said, but it added that their effectiveness was limited by a lack of coordination. Differing levels of subsidies between countries was disturbing the single market. Fragmentation limited the scale required to compete on the global level. You're watching how it stretches out, this monopolization consolidation. and the EU's decision-making process was complex and sluggish. But we know the subsidies are losers, so there is no future to what Draghi is suggesting, either in the global digital fiat system as well. So, again, there's so much to touch here. If you want to start to come up to speed, I think these last few weeks I've been throwing in and not being able to touch all the subject matter. You need to grab the links and read them, familiarize with what they're doing, why they do it, what the problems are. Watch that they're planned to be that way. You get that link behind the Woodshed Blogcaster and Weep, I would suggest. You watch how they're actually running this thing right into the ground. Or maybe just start using sound money and work to change a sound money system as well. And I haven't heard any alternative to being in the jaws here of the bankster class in that regard. Sound money really seems to be the big difference. As I said, it was pretty clear, if anybody who heard me say it or read the article, when you found out that the Federal Reserve, a fiat system, a debt system, could not take gold and silver coin on the debt side. They had to take it as an asset. They really didn't like doing that too much unless they had to meet their obligations underneath their establishment. Like they do have to hold so much gold and it can't be tapped by anything. So, anyway, sound money. Start working to get it. Start using this coin and start getting people used to using it now before it really is starting to become too late. Leaving the West, including the EU, to stew in its own fiscal and monetary agonizing slow descent to global parity, Russia is leaving the dollar-based system for good. What are the digital ruble and BRICS bridge? Very interesting how fast this is moving along. And again, I'm saying Russia's not carving out something multipolar out there. It's going to come right on back. It's all coming back around and going to some other place than what they're even talking about here, as I've been reporting on, bringing all the documents to show. By July 1st, 2025, the largest Russian banks will have to provide their clients with the ability to conduct transactions in digital rubles, according to the Russian Central Bank. Pilot testing of the digital currency is underway in 12 banks participating in it. The digital ruble is an electronic form of national currency. It is a unique digital code, a token. Your token citizenship, here it is. If you needed to hear it in one article about money and a nation, there it is. It's a unique digital code. It's a token that is stored in a digital wallet on a special platform of the central bank. It's centralized. It's programmable, controllable. The bank intends to issue it as an addition to the existing means of payment. And again, there's a transition time for all this. The digital ruble could become a fast, convenient, and reliable means, and cheap too. It's going to be cheap too, folks. Means of cross-border payments. That's international, though. That's corporate, which is important for Russia in the context of sanctions pressure and exclusion from SWIFT, SWIFT, the transfer system, as well as the de-dollarization policy. To seamlessly conduct financial operations with its partners, Russia needs a system based on the interaction of the national digital currencies. According to the central bank, there are two options: an integration of two platforms, i.e. the digital ruble and other digital currencies, or operations of the national currency platforms through a third common system. What are we talking about? The BRICS bridge, BRICS bridge. Together with the central banks of the BRICS countries, Russia is working on creating a new settlement and payment infrastructure that will allow payments to be made in national currencies, including digital ones. The multilateral digital settlement and payment platform, BRICS Bridge, that can connect the financial markets of BRICS members is currently under consideration by the organization. The development of the system is of a system immune to political pressure, abuse of external sanctions interference has been going on since the 2023 BRICS summit in South Africa. The issue, again, listen how fast this is coming together. The issue, again, as I say, when they were telling us they didn't know what the heck they were looking at. I told you it was a lie. They know exactly what they're doing. The issue of an independent multilateral digital platform is likely to be the focus point of the October BRICS summit in Kazan, according to the Federal Russian Federation Council Speaker Valentina Matviyenko. Except Russia isn't really disconnected. Like crabs crawling out of a bucket, the EU wants to spread its agony. EU states slam IMF for resuming work in Russia. Wow. I just said they're not disconnected. They say they're disconnected, but they're not. EU going to make a kerfuffle over the IMF resuming its work with Russia, which means it's not disconnected. Commenting on the situation at the press briefing on Thursday, IMF spokesman Julie Kozak said that the annual economic review is also known as Article 4 consultations, was part of a, quote, mutual obligation between the fund and its members, recorded in the IMF Articles of Agreement. So whatever Russia is saying that they're trying to be separate, they're not. They're together, but there's a problem. Again, the EU wants its agony to spread around the country. Nevertheless, misery loves company. IMF postpones the scheduled consultation with Russia, says TASS, citing Russian director. The International Monetary Fund has postponed its planned consultation mission with Russia indefinitely because of technical issues. TASS agency cited Alexei Mosin, Russia's director at the IMF, Russia's director at the IMF, is saying on Wednesday. The fund's management notified the Russian side and the board of directors that the mission's work would be postponed indefinitely, Mosin said. Quote, technical unpreparedness of the mission to conduct consultations was mentioned as the reason for postponing the mission. The IMF did not immediately respond to a request for comment. Mosin told TASS the Russian side was well aware that many European countries had spoken out about the unacceptability of the resumption of cooperation between the IMF and Russia and the unacceptability of conducting such consultations. Preparations of conducting the consultations at issue had taken place more than a year ago at Russia, while never requesting a mission was prepared to receive one as part of its obligations under IMF rules. The Russian side hereby again confirms its preparedness. So right out of their mouth, this is not a separation in the world about this. They're not actually separate. But most importantly here, postpone means Russia is not disconnected and does not intend to be. In its digital ruble and BRICS bridge, they just stated about to the contrary notwithstanding. It's meant to be a global financial cyber gulag with nations and the people of every nation prisoners in a perpetual debt, the prosperity of shared obligations, as I've read over and over the documents. Again, Agenda 2030, just read about two-thirds of the way through, maybe three-quarters of the way through, you'll start to see where the debt pops up. And that debt is connected over to that shared obligation, which they call prosperity. Remember, if you have infinite debt in a debt system, you're the richest one in the world, right? I mean, look at Elon Musk. It's just not... Anyway. Okay, so there it is. There's no disconnection in the system. Now we get it from Russia itself. In the kerfuffle that the EU is in, the agony that it's not doing so well and it doesn't want anybody else to do well. In particular, Russia. Now, we heard the international forums in a few tabs back. Those international forums are spoken of does not begin or end in promoting in eating insects. Master manipulators are seemingly everywhere conflating nature with the sustainable unnatural transformation. So now I want my listener to listen for the women, children, and indigenous stalking horses in his warm and fuzzy words as we read Putin say, Russian women reveal our beauty. They epitomize Russia's soul, warmth, and spiritual generosity, the president has said. The Eurasian Women's Forum in 2024 represents an opportunity to show the world Russia's welcoming nature, clearly reflected in the women of the country, President Vladimir Putin declared at the opening ceremony at the event of St. Petersburg on Wednesday. The EAWF promotes sustainable development and global security he said, adding that its participants' commitment to the principles of cooperation and peace make it more popular with each passing year. Putin praised the forum as one of the major international events demonstrating women's potential and capabilities and the colossal constructive role in all fields of our lives that women play. They aren't women, though. There is no society without women. And I call you to take note here for a subsequent tab that the forum, one of the major international events demonstrating women's potential and capabilities, is to show the intent to promote humanism. We're going to get to that tab in a moment. We're going to finish going through this. This is so important to understand these stalking horses. Like I said, focus on it. Listen for them. Women, children, and the indigenous. They're in this, in what Putin says. He already identified it for us. He's going to be promoting sustainable development. But when I tell you that the women and children and indigenous are stalking horses, that's who they throw out so that you think that they're warm and fuzzy. You don't pay attention. They're gonna hit you. There's a sniper behind. Russian women reveal the soul of Russia is the beauty, attractiveness, warmth, mercy, and spiritual generosity, Putin said, calling his nation an open, welcoming country that places high value on dialogue, trust, and friendship. Now, if women are already the soul of Russia, what more is there to empower unless the forum actually insults the existing soul to modernize it? Putin also thanked all the Russian women for their work for the benefit of the country and their fabulous creative energy. Progress, welfare, and harmony cannot be achieved without women, he said, adding that it is also true for a genuine, sustainable peace. So there. Did you hear? Two of the three stalking horses revealed in that statement. Women, for their work to benefit the country, the object of this sustainability plot, and the children. Did you pick that up? Where he says that the work together with the fabulous creative energy, the children are the product of that creative energy. Both women and children in that paragraph are stated to fulfill a genuine sustainable peace. It's the stalking horses of both women and children used to advance the sustainable agenda. But if you think that's all the women, that all the women are capable of in all this, and you're missing the tyranny women leaders in the EU are causing as well. And I point this out, this is not a condemnation. We got to look with honesty about this. He's puffing them up, but he's puffing them up as a stalking horse. The women don't know that. I've talked about this for years, about how people are brought up, but they're being used, and they don't recognize that. And when I bring that up to people, they get mad at me, especially when it happened to South Dakota and the Indian problems and all that happened with the pipeline. I don't know why people do that. They don't listen. They're not listening to how they're being used. But to get back to this. This is what's going on here. It's not to denigrate women at all. They are. See, this is the thing that Putin can do. He can tell us the power, the need, the capacity of a woman in our lives. And yet, his result will not be. The outcome is not what he's talking to. And people don't pick this up. So the contrast is, look at some of the women in the EU. They're not doing such a great job. They're not all these very great qualities that women are. Now, there's always two sides to these coins as well, but he's going to do the one side right now because this is what the object is. So Putin and the Russian government are very, normally speaking, for effect upon their audience, their target audience. So my first question relative to the good of the government, who decides what that sustainable peace entails? Because a well-run prison can be considered a sustainable peace, or, as we are told, the sustainable Siberian gulag would help to provide, if you're listening carefully there. The point being, he didn't need to add to the word genuine the modifier sustainable, the underlying subject matter of this global sustainability, which is fraught with danger and irreparable harms to people when speaking about women bringing peace. So in his warm and fuzzy, even glowing words about women, tapping into his emotions and their patriotism, he's adulterated their nature, abducting it into a sustainable outcome. and thou shalt not commit adultery. My astute listener should have observed, okay, you said there were three stalking horses that he is using to transform everyone in the country into a sustainable fold. Where's the third? Well, let's take a look at that now, understanding the deep patriotic sense that Putin can invoke in the Russian population. In the West, the indigenous are conceived what are considered aboriginal peoples, which in a simpler time were the various Indian tribes before us. But in Russia, most everyone is indigenous to the territory known as Russia. And Putin embraces that diversity and inclusiveness in his stalking horse trifecta. The president also praised the participants' diverse backgrounds, noting that every Russian region is represented at the event. Quote, we respect the diversity and uniqueness of the world's countries and people, Putin said. Now, how inclusive, right? What he just said there. No sustainable victim will be left behind, but don't mention men, for sure. Right? You haven't heard of man yet. Women, children, and the indigenous. 2015 is the same year that we heard that the forum references was from the Pope. Remember that? Listen to this in the story. The forum was created in 2015 as a platform promoting the role of female leaders in the modern world, as has been held every 3 years since. So 2015 is the same year that as the Pope's deception and calls for unity, as I reported to you behind the woodshed. But let us toss up that word salad a bit more to see what bugs the they want you to eat crawl out. Remember, we're told that we're in a postmodern, post-truth world. So when the they speak of modern, they are actually intending modernization, the transformation of your society to technocratic humanistic future that they have planned for you. Now, I've spoken in the past about the host of Modernization Act that were enacted back in 2010, as I've said, I started the broadcast this way. We're back to it again in this so-called international forum. They're all talking the same stuff. This happened in the U.S. back in 2010, which, as I also said, would be coming on, and it did a couple years back. And you're watching how every aspect of your life is now in a worse shape when they were implemented, despite all the hoopla that they would be the bee's knees solutions to these problems. But on the contrary, whether food, housing, medical care, or such as we heard through the Obama scare, whatever they modernize turned into a hot mess. Remember, as an example of their deleterious effect too, the modernization of the Smith-Mundt Act is to allow the United States government to lie to you. So your role as a woman in a modernized world is to serve the humanistic technocrats and how that they determine your societal value for the country, not you or your family. The West does that, but different. The government just threatens you to or does steal your offspring, your creative property. Edward here, Bernays, I was thinking on this promotion, would have been proud of Putin's pitch. And while another change agent at the forum, Valentina Malvienko, the head of the Russian Federation Council and former St. Petersburg governor, denounces at the same time the belligerent feminism of the West. Brilliant. When you read through this, I just come about, these people are brilliant. These people are really good at what they do. And now, moving to that aspect and other clues as to what is at play here, and to point better to the sustainable agenda, suspiciously absent from this discussion is the men. The agenda which is at war here with men and mankind in favor of humanism. Read for that. If women are already the soul and creative force of society as Putin described, why do they need to be empowered, as I asked before? Why? Now what about the men? Human-robot duo performs Vivaldi at Women's Forum in Russia. Now, you're saying, well, it was a women's forum. Well, what was Putin doing there then? So, understand what I'm talking to relative to the sustainable agenda and what the stalking horses are and what the target is. It's mankind, including women, but mankind, for a humanistic condition. When we get human-robot duo performs Vivaldi at Women's Forum in Russia. The event, focused on empowering women leaders around the world, has attracted more than 2,000 participants. So, you read, look at the video. Touching this pathetic display of hypocrisy, let us return to continue to the conclusion of that belligerent female juxtaposition. I was reminded, torches of freedom, girls. Brilliant. This is brilliant what they've done. She also stressed that the forum does not seek to promote Western-style belligerent feminism, which she said initially promoted women's rights, but later degraded and radicalized. Listen for the truth, too, in this. As I said, Putin is telling you, you know, telling us the value of women and how they cherish that. That's not a lie. The purpose is the lie, essentially. It's the promotion of the emotion in order to get you to believe in something you may not have otherwise done or did, would do. She also stressed the forum does not seek to promote the Western side belligerent feminism. This honorable idea to fight for women's rights has long been discarded by the West. Listen, West, this is a truth. Now it's all about conflict, a fight against men and traditional values, Motvienko said, arguing that this narrative is not relevant to women. Of course, the war is against men, ostensibly, only in the West, and not relevant when you're avoiding the truth that women, children, and the indigenous are stalking horses in the war against mankind, including women and children, everyone, indigenous to wherever they inhabit, as against this foreign ideological invasion, however incremental and insidious. Let's now turn to this insult, empowering the humanist's woman, and the clues of artificiality and deception here are apparent in this despicable technocratic humanist performance as you look at this video. And you'll have to ask yourself as well, if the war against men and mankind is irrelevant to women, how is a robot relevant in this human-robot duo performing Vivaldi at a women's forum in Russia? Wednesday opening ceremony began with Maria Andreeva, a renowned Russian violinist, performing an excerpt from Antonio Vivaldi's world-famous Four Seasons, while accompanied by a universal robot's UR-10 wearing a dress and holding a bow in its manipulator. Now, empowering women so we fuse her to a robot, an industrial war robot wearing a dress nonetheless, then falsely claim equality to women. Except, the truly pathetic thing is the robot can't even duo. But you'll have to see the video to observe that. But for here, you'll have to explain to me how simply bowing one string and without using the frets can change tone to make an electronic sound you hear. But Maria Andreeva is a good actress, too, in supporting her role, highlighting the humanist fusion of woe man with machine. The Russian change agent Matvienko noted that the event will have a far-reaching practical implications, including issuing recommendations on best practices for women in various fields and pushing their implementation worldwide. Best practices is another subjugation tool to modernization of postmodern, post-truth, normalized world. And don't forget those best practices is how they legally cook the books. Now, to be applied to the globally empowered woman from Russia to the world. That was fast. Meanwhile, the EAWF is aiming to promote the core traditional values of all humanity. This is not inconsequential. Humanity, not mankind, including the preservation of family culture and open opportunities for women, she said. All those who come to our forum share these values. If they're sustainable development, they're not just values, they're sustainable values. So she's lying by omission right there. Values. But not unless those values are sustainable, right? For humanity, not mankind. And they will determine those sustainable humanistic values, not you. warm and fuzzy emotions labeled words to once again light those torches of freedom, girls, only this time sustainably so. This is such an insult that I really can't fully describe it. And if my listener didn't know there is a distinction, please do your research. Study the difference between the origins between here mankind and humankind. Human. Look for that. Study it. They're not actually synonymous. Humanists' opinions, to the contrary, notwithstanding. And you don't determine the global humanist's values because you are the obligated debtor human enjoying shared prosperity. If you didn't see the connection to the religion and then unity movement, please continue the study because that is all relevant to this. I've talked about this for over a decade. And remember, the sustainability isn't the mother of the green religion and papal unity to a fault for nothing. As Putin is now deftly plying Russians and the people of other nations, whether by change agents in their countries or by necessity, because there appears to be no other option, but no one has yet to separate the wheat from the sustainable chaff to see their way clear of all this. Quote, sustainable economic development, technological advancement in this article is the globalist war against you, and this purported human-robot duo is a pathetic attempt to adulterate the creative power of women, which is life itself. So how does one empower that? Is not sustainably explained or explainable, I think. Moving into the domestic money, fiat nonsense, the laws that are promoting this whole sustainable thing that's behind underneath the United States that you see in the EPA and the agencies. There's a threat of a government shutdown. And a little cartoon came through, which I thought was pretty cool. Government shutdown part two. And the title on this is, oh no, not another government shutdown. And the four pictures, if you put in your mind, I hope I can describe this clear enough. But the left-hand top corner you'll see is the phone. It says IRS voicemail. And the voice says, because of this government shutdown, the voice says, we're canceling your audit. The second picture on the right is a prisoner with his, says Gitmo, with his hands in a chain on a wall, and a little voice from a black little square window says, no waterboarding today. The IDF ran out of bombs is another one that will turn up, and the fourth picture is the Supreme Court, and the sign outside it says, closed, today's lost freedoms. And there's nothing but a white spot. There's no lost freedoms marked on it. I thought was really insightful. It's part of what I think we need to see done. Shut the thing down. Fix it. And don't come back until you get it done. And actually, don't come back until you have sound money. There's a lot of ways to do that. And it's not so complicated, actually. It's just a matter of doing it. But we are a beholden, if you will, compromised nation of representatives. So that's another problem. But I found this interesting, that all the things that bother us by the government would be just shut down. So what is our problem? Why don't we have more concurrence on just shutting the thing down? And why should the government be shut down? Maybe to bring the part that you can't shut down under closer scrutiny for its unlawful use of appropriated funds. What we hear, the Pentagon likely misused funds by training Ukrainian unit that violated human rights, says the OIG. Pentagon likely misused. What does it mean to say likely? It either did or it did not. The OIG here seems to be misused funds appropriated to it for an investigation that didn't turn up a definitive answer, especially as we can read in this story, there is at least one unequivocal violation. According to a new oversight report published by the Department of Office of Inspector General on Wednesday, quote, the DOD personnel may have misused appropriated funds by training a Ukraine unit that may have committed a gross violation of human rights, resulting in a violation of the Leahy Law, because they did not sufficiently document the Leahy vetting occurred for Ukrainian Armed Forces units that received DOD training, the report said. So, sounds like to me there is the unequivocal violation violating a Leahy law requirement. So, who goes to the brig for that disrespect to the American people and the international embarrassment it causes? The report notes that such an action violated United States law prohibiting the provision of military aid to foreign forces that have violated human rights. Have violated does not sound merely likely to me. How about you? But where's the accountability? Is the problem. Shut it down till there's accountability. In identifying these occupying government regimes that gives lip service to the law when it applies to its actions, foreign and domestic, isn't a question. Because pursuant to the law of war in this war of terror against you, you knows them when you sees them. This is not a hard analysis. It's not maze. It's not likely. They either did or they didn't. And so that you look at why should the government be shut down? Because we have these failures. And nothing goes out until it gets squared up. Because what can unauthorized funds allowed to commit war crimes cause? And we hear another atrocity coming out this week. This story is really an op prep, but I think it's a diversion. However, it doesn't matter at some point we watch how the government uses your money, how it uses the information, how the United States government complains that RT or Sputnik's doing no good, but you have an expert on to talk about what's going on, and it's off point. From echelon, well, off point to a point, I guess I should say. From echelon to prism, U.S. intel services could be behind Hezbollah pager detonation. The recent detonation of over 1,500 pagers, it ends up being, like, this is an older story that I found, but as I've been looking at the most recent news, this was lots more pages, maybe up to 2,800, then lots more electronic devices, all kinds of electronic devices, bringing on a whole myriad types of potentials behind this. But anyway, we'll stay with the story here at this point. 1,500 pages simultaneously in Lebanon's capital, Beirut, exploded, leaving thousands injured and about 35 or 40 dead now in the second wave of attacks. The 35 Hezbollah members at that point, now, not the first one, but now, and the Hezbollah members who issued this statement saying, after examining all the facts, current data, and available information about the sinful attack that took place this afternoon, we hold that the Israeli enemy fully responsible for the criminal aggression, which also targeted civilians and led to the deaths of a number of martyrs and an injury of a large number of with various wounds. Most were civilians at this first strike. That this could be caused by interfering software responsible for charging the devices, Alexei Linikov, a military analyst and editor of Arsenal Oktavska, told Sputnik. But I'd like to add, Hezbollah, like Hamas, also has a political function, and it's in the function that's protected and prohibited to attack that's being missed in a lot of these. And we went, and I told you that about the international law regarding this. So it's very concerning that it is being reported these pages were sent to civilian institutions such as schools and media outlets and hospitals, and they indiscriminately attack people. Even an Iranian political ambassador was a casualty also, but the initial report saying he lost his eyesight, but it ends up being that he escaped really serious injury and he's going to be okay. Again, just the indiscriminate nature of this is the main problem about it. Now, they're talking about this stuff that Snowden brought out about, oh, they can now tap into your electronics. Really puts a question on all our electronics. I'm not dismissing it. What I'm saying is I think for this instance, it's a misdirection. We want to hear what he has to say here about all this. It's supposed to be an act of terrorism to attack people in their political side and influence the politics of a nation. That's even in United States law, particular to a political attack. And the Biden regime denying knowledge of the existence of the pagers is irrelevant, because you'll hear that, oh, we didn't know. This is an actual terrorist act that further funding to support or the appropriations of funding to continue Israel is unlawful. As we just heard the OIG show, that's a relevant thing. These things are required to happen. And not to diminish the contribution about the battery explosions, more to the point of those targeted are civilians. They're to be off limits under international law. But an acknowledgement here also of Israel's flagrant disregard of international law, if it even follows any of it. Unless and until international law suits the Zionist Federation, it doesn't listen to any of it. Further, as I've suspected from reports of the initial damage, the pagers were altered to contain a high explosive material. and looking at videos. This is a whole lot different than a battery. Now, lithium batteries blowing up are not small things. What I'm saying is that these are different types of explosions. But this is not unknown. It was the same thing that they tried on Hamas back in 2009. But Hamas caught it. So my questions start going back to when this is like a global threat now. All our electronic devices can be tainted. Who, in this case, was the manufacturer and what was the supply chain? And the fog and the confetti's been thrown up all around it. Oh, it wasn't us, it wasn't us, it wasn't us. Oh, it was a straw corporation in Hungary or someplace. But this PSYOP veteran takes us on a plausible technical route. And I do think this is a bit of a divergence. The American and Allied intelligence agencies created the Echelon Service surveillance system, which was built in parallel with the communication network, paging communications, cellular communications, and the global internet, and for monitoring and controlling network participants. I'm reading this as a reminder of what Snowjob Snowden gave to us by this pilfer and release, and then hiding of most of that information. Remember, that didn't all come out. And this is just a reminder. I don't know that this is actually part of it. Part of it could be, but I don't think these surveillance systems are also the actuator type things, the way it came down. Neither here nor there. Since Echelon's inception in the 1960s, the U.S. has developed international communication standards and a wide set of surveillance tools which allow the United States intel community to spy on users worldwide, as ex-NSA contractor Edward Snowden disclosed in 2013, commenting on the U.S. PRISM program. Those instruments can determine an individual's location by devices one uses for communications, including the pager, that one carries in their pocket, according to Lenikov. U.S. operatives can determine the user's coordinates with an accuracy of up to a second, given that each device has its own identification number and operates on a common environment under U.S. standards. Consider your phones, all your electronics. The internet, the battlefield of Internet of Things I've reported on. Those targets can be affected in different ways, most commonly with strikes of high-precision combat drones. Remember, that's more like a homing beacon. The recent detonation of pagers could be caused by battery overheating, which in turn could be provoked by interfering with software responsible for charging devices, the pundit said. But here's the failure of this, and why I think it's a little bit of a tell of what's really just a story, just to throw out there, and it came out immediately. When being charged, they wouldn't likely be held or worn at the time that they exploded. And they were saying a Motorola model was used, but it had AA batteries, which may or may not have been lithium. So in regard to PSYOPS guy says, most technical devices now have lithium batteries. What happened is called thermal runaway, during which the battery, as a rule, explodes. A battery explosion, depending on where the owner wears this pager, can lead to either mergery or serious injury, and in exceptional cases, death. If the pager was close to an artery, the explosion of a battery could cause damage, making one bleed to death within 5 minutes, and that's it. The person can't be saved, the pundit concludes. The Iranian ambassador to Lebanon, Mojtajibah Amani, is also injured. So the exploded devices came from a new shipment of Hezbollah that had recently received in recent days, the Wall Street Journal reported. Hezbollah said it had not yet determined the reason behind the mass explosion. So note to self, given this contribution is at least plausible with some lithium battery compounds, and proving, once again, SMART is not too intelligent. SMART devices with some lithium batteries have the capacity to be used as an explosive device effect assassinations. Now, if true, how are you protecting Trump from his assassins again? Tesla drivers, anyone? Can you tell me how that was going to be protected? Otherwise, these pages were tampered with along their supply chain, and Hezbollah suffered the consequences of a major lapse of customs and other security measures. Your lithium battery-powered electric car may still burn, even if it's not loaded with explosives. So there are these problems. Exploding pagers and other devices, doing that to those is just a diabolical attack. I can't even imagine. Again, if you're looking at a charging system, it wouldn't be held at the time it's charged. So that doesn't even make sense to me. The Zionist Federation movement operating under the cover of Israel has shown itself willing and capable of mass indiscriminate killing through poisoning water wells now with the technology products it can do. Sounds like what the Zionist pharmaceutical CEOs did and said to us globally during the great COVID swindle as well. So Netanyahu allowed Harma polio vaccines known to cause polio, only then to bomb the very babies that they claimed to save instead of just stopping the genocide and reestablishing essential services such as water and sanitation that would have now fixed most of all that. If the bomb didn't get the people today, the vaccines will destroy the people tomorrow. They're just heinous, heinous acts. Is this the evidence enough not to trust Israel's products or supply chains and boycott them? Is this a better reason? And the manufacturers doing business with such terrorists, what about them? How about we start looking to boycott those? This is a very interesting problem they've developed for themselves. And if that's not a good enough reason, why not? And I'd like to hear your comments about it. At some point, we have to come together to stop these folks. Market boycott is a great way to start that. But right on cue, we get the reminder, along with all this, the Democratic October surprise targeting Russia and Trump may be in the making. Another U.S. PSYOP veteran this time, a U.S. PSYOP veteran. The headline is all that I was really saying it was important here to keep the fear alive. The story is an incidental excuse, essentially, for the headline to be regurgitated. But let me touch that a little bit. We know that October is historically promoted as a catastrophe month, and yet there are others of note in other months. But for this one in particular, because it's an election year, it's something, if something does happen, what would be the surprise in that, though? Well, the event might be a surprise, even a horror, but why would it still be a surprise to us? Why would we invest any energy into allow it to be a surprise more than, okay, who actually done what was promoted and hunt them down and destroy the government insiders committee? Why aren't we focused now? If there's going to be a surprise, where are we going to be surprised? No, there's a plan. Let's see if it executes. And then we go and execute how to stop make the accountability. How is anything going to be a surprise if it occurs in October? It's blown me away that people say there's a surprise. It's almost like the surprise when it didn't. But this PSYOP veteran wants you to believe it will be a surprise. Okay, be surprised by the ring in your nose, too, if you're so inclined, or bent over, or whatever submissive pose makes the ring more comfortable. We're turning into a pathetic people. We have the power in our hands, if you will, not to be surprised. It's now, we know things are happening. They are on the move. Because priming the fear machinery is the imperative, after all. Especially after Trump is safe after the apparent assassination attempt at his Florida golf club. Read how the news unfolded. We can do that. The man suspected of the incident, Ryan Wesley Ruth, camped outside the golf course in West Palm Beach with the food and a rifle for nearly 12 hours, according to court documents. He did not have a line of sight on Trump and never fired his weapon, the Secret Service said. But this thing about Ryan Ruth that really leaps out is that he was the believer in the current thing. One day it was Ukraine. Actually, quite a while it was Ukraine. Then next it was the Iran nuclear deal. He was against that. Then it was the January 6th. And this 58-year-old American, it seems to be a case study of what a mind-programmed individual looks like. A man who gets insanely emotional about opinions he thinks are his own, but are, in fact, assigned to him by the media political complex. There are many such cases like that, literally tens of millions of people like him as well out there. And I was struck by the fact that his activism moved from media-promoted programming topic of the moment on to the next one in the order that they came in time. And one day he's passionate about Ukraine, then the regurgitating these talking points. If you read any things about it, he would be just these talking points just come pouring out of him. As I've explained and read the documents, the American empire operates on perception management through cognitive warfare techniques, and this guy appears to be the definition of a programmable and programmed mind. But he's not that only one. I mean, there's many more out there like him. They're like pick and choose, it seems. Then his son says this is totally out of character for him, which moves this more into that MK Ultra territory. that his son framed the assassination attempt as his father being martyred, especially when this was said after his father, the alleged assassin, was in custody and didn't die, is even more disturbing. Where did this American son living in America get that language? Anyway. And there's a whole lot more coming out. There's so many consistencies. It looks like another coagulating blood clot to me, all run through the intelligence services. I'm not going to speak one way or the other. It seems to not have carried the day either. But this is the rule of the day. This is what's going on. And we've got to be careful not to be persuaded on the subject matters that we can research for ourselves and get a new piece of information quickly. Because, as I've said before, it's imperative to be able to don't get lost in that fog of war. Don't get lost in the noise. And you have to start, and I bring these topics up, and I go through these analyses the way I do it, even as summary as they are, as brief as they are, to try and hope clues of how to do this go through so you are doing it for yourself in real time. Not just because, oh, I'm a contrarian. Not just, oh, I can't believe him. Oh, it must be the CIA. It must be the FBI. It must be the where evidence goes to die. You look for all the clues that prove it, and you do it really quickly. Then you're not persuaded, and you're not part of that herd mentality that goes through. And then we're going to start to be able to understand why it's so important just to shut down this government. Let it shut down. There's nothing that stops in the people at that point. It's just the imposition of tyranny in our day, right now, until we get it cleared up. Hope something I said today informs you. Identifies things for you, gives you something to think about, gives you something, a direction to take maybe, how to take up some of these things in order for you to use in your life, especially early on in this broadcast, this one, for the court case, the decisions on how things are kind of working out and how they're not, for all the promises. This has been BTWRLM 595, and I'll be with you next week. Tech Tips for Nature Will.
It goes cold, the hour is near. Sunday, the clock strikes three. Hal's voice rolls like thunder, piercing free. Pull up a chair, lean in close, lessons to learn. Dose by dose, behind the woodshed, no stone unturned. Hal's words ignite, the airwaves burn. Stand up, listen, it's time to learn. Behind the woodshed, where truths are earned. Law to liberty, the light in house court, no place to hide. A candle fast, ready to burst for unspoken truths and unquenchable thirst. Behind the woodshed, no stone unturned. House words ignite, the airways burn. Stand up, listen, it's time to learn. Behind the woodshed, where truths are earned. So mark the time when Sunday comes. Behind the woodshed, drums, Hal's voice, a beacon, fierce and bold, in the fight for truth. Next week, heed the call. Behind the woodshed, standing tall.